Well, hello and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. My name is Katie Stoll.
That's right. Move over all other news podcasts that don't exist because we're the only one. I'm Cody Johnston.
Damn straight you are. And joining us today is our friend, our colleague, host of the hit podcast Creature Feature on iHeartRadio, Katie Golden.
That's right. It's me. Hi, all you news babies. You precious, cute little news babies.
She's here. She's broadcasting live from Italia.
That's Italy. Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Pizza.
Italy City, Italy.
Land of the pizza. And we're going to talk about that. But first, shout out to the holiday.
Yeah.
Today, November 19th.
Hey, holiday.
National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day.
That is too specific.
Yeah.
Or not specific enough.
Should just say Happy Monster Day, you know?
Yeah.
Am I right? Am I right?
Monster. I mean, what do we talk? Literally, it's National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine. So it's any caffeinated soda pop. It's not just Coke. It's the Zevias.
Coca-Cola. Yeah, Pepsi's. You got your Mountain Dews. You got your Mountain Dews Code Reds. You got
Dr. Man.
Baja Blast.
Yeah. Zippy Pop.
I'm sure LaCroix one of these days.
Yeah, I'm sure LaCroix one of these days. I had, for the first time in many, 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 many years, a carbonated beverage with caffeine. Honestly, just like a few sips of it. And that carbonated beverage with caffeine gave me the worst...
Diarrhea.
Gas. Not like, oh, I'm farting all night. Like, I feel like I have appendicitis, kind of like, oh, God. Oh, this isn't doing good things inside. And so, yeah... Celebrate by not drinking one is my advice.
Yeah, get out of here, Day. Go on.
I just talked about gas on my fucking podcast.
Okay. Well, I yelled diarrhea, so.
At least I didn't say diarrhea.
Helping to set
right. At least it wasn't a Mountain Dew Flamin' Hot, which exists, apparently.
No.
The flavor, yeah.
Like also, Flamin' Hot Cheeto?
Uh-huh.
No, absolutely not. Why would you bring that up?
Because I had to.
I tried to explain root beer to Italians, and they looked at me like I was crazy and kind of like laughed nervously. And like, no,
they don't
really
have root beer.
What? No, they don't.
It's delicious.
I don't understand.
But I just like, you know, it's a sugary carbonated beverage. And they're like, but what? Why is it called root beer? Does it taste like roots? No. It's, you know, just sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
Used to
sarsaparilla,
be.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, you know, sarsaparilla. I was wondering, how do you explain the flavor of it? I can't believe that. No, there's got to be some root beer somewhere.
There's none. I checked the entire country.
Apparently, it was originally supposed to be called root tea, but they chose root beer to make it attractive to Pennsylvanian coal miners.
Nice, because if you drink tea,
you're
a woman. We're
always capitulating to the Pennsylvania coal miners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tea is a woman's beverage. Beer is for men.
Nice. How's the diarrhea rug?
It's along the side of my house.
Mm.
I sprayed it down. All right, this can either be cut or not, but if we're keeping it, I'll explain it to everybody. I woke up the other day to just the worst. Here we are with a diarrhea, dog diarrhea. Something happened in the middle of the night. Pulled it outside, spraying it down, hosed it down again. Then all of a sudden there was like a big wind thing. And so it's covered in leaves and it's muddy.
Oh, God.
And the next day it smelled like a stable. So I did what any rational adult would do, which is just kind of chuck it along the side of the house.
Yeah, that's like that's the void area.
It's the void area. I will be renting. I'll either hire somebody to clean it or I'll rent a steam cleaner. And then put it away until I
have
forgotten what happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that diarrhea is sort of part of the like atomic level construction of that rug at this point.
It's not going anywhere. It's a deep rug. It the more you clean, the further embedded it got. Mm-hmm. Regardless, Katie, how are you doing in Italy? I know you fell down your stairs recently.
Yeah. The people don't need to know about that.
Too late. Did you slip on dog diarrhea or?
What's that? No, thankfully, no. I mean, my dog did vomit on the stairs once, but I didn't slip on it.
Okay.
Not that time.
So, yeah, we can keep talking about dog pee pee poo poo, but yeah, no, Italy's great. It's nice. It's a nice country. I enjoy it. I live in Turin, which is the northeast part of Italy, and it's a beautiful city. Yeah.
How is it keeping up with American news? Is there like an emotional disconnect being that? Because whenever I've been on vacation anyway, I have had this experience of a little bit of a pressure release because everything's not. It's almost like it's happening. Well, it is happening in a different time zone. So it's like, I think that psychologically there is some sort of distance between me and it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I feel that way. I think
well, this is your actual life. I'm also talking about vacation.
I think I do feel, I still feel pretty connected. I just think it, you know, I'm too tuned in to the news and I care so deeply, you guys, about each and every one of you. But also, you know, it's hard not to feel like, well, now I'm in Italy, I can forget about all the stuff going on in the country burning down. But also, it is the really interesting thing, I think, is trying to explain it to my Italian friends. Like, I tried to explain the ivermectin situation. And at first, and they're like, well, I don't understand. And so I tried to re-explain it, you know, in maybe better Italian. And they were like, no, I understand the words you're saying, but they don't make sense. So, yeah, that aspect is interesting. There are a lot of things that just that we take for granted in America, like people having guns around that.
Or root beer.
In other countries is, root beer. Mm-hmm. That is unthinkable. Open carrying root beer. Mm-hmm. Unthinkable.
Yeah, if it's hard to explain root beer, it's going to be really hard to explain poison yourself to own the libs.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are like anti-vax groups in Europe, lots of them.
Sure.
I mean, there are, I see protests in Italy here in Turin as well of anti-vaccine groups, but often they're things like anti-green pass, so it's almost a political movement of, oh, the government, this is too powerful, government, it's an overreach. Not all of the people protesting are necessarily
anti-vax.
Anti-vax or think it's like microchips are going to poison them, but some of them do.
Looks like the center of Italy's anti-vaccine protests is now a COVID hotspot, according to this
interesting
headline on the New York Times.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, in Italy and also throughout all of Europe, I think there's a rise in COVID right now. I don't think it's necessarily because of anti-vaxxers, but it's just some kind of, you know, the pendulum
waves
swinging.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the winter. So,
yeah,
an uptick is to be expected. Then there's also that new variant in Great Britain, the Great Britain. But
Delta
I'm
Blast.
Not, Delta Flavor Blast.
Delta
actually.
Baja Blast.
Delta Flamin' Hot.
Exactly.
I think that's
Delta
the
Zero
variation. Delta Zero, yeah. So yes, it is to be expected. Do you have any fun stories, fun Italian stories before we get into the news?
Someone was singing opera outside earlier. And then also someone was playing Wonderwall on the clarinet, like a street performer.
Ooh.
And they're
was
just it? Like,
look, the street performers in Europe.
So you recorded it. You're playing
level.
It back to us now.
Yeah.
That was it.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember walking through Germany in Berlin, and this is like three violinists were there playing the Game of Thrones theme, and it was really great.
That's great.
That's nice.
It was. I felt like being in Europe feels like being you'll stumble into concerts. I love it.
You know what I hate? Taking a bunch of pills at once. You gotta put them in a bowl and then fill the bowl with milk or orange juice and scoop them all up. It can be hard on the tummy and also the brainy if you're trying to keep up with all the latest nutritional information and whatnot. But then there's this thing called AG1 by Athletic Greens, the category leading superfood product that brings comprehensive and convenient daily nutrition to everybody. AG1 takes all those vitamins you need to fill in the gaps of your diet and puts them all into one delicious liquid. One might even call it a drink. Here it is. Yum yum. It was a drink, and a good drink at that, filled with wonder, but mainly vitamins. In fact, one tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients designed to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, support energy and focus, aid with gut health and digestion, and support a healthy immune system, effectively replacing multiple products or pills with one healthy, delicious drink. It supports all the diets like vegan and keto and paleo and only has a single gram of sugar. That's so little sugar! You can basically wake up and drink a glass of this and forget about it for the rest of the day. No more crushing and snorting multivitamins for you. And to make it super easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/morenews today. That's athleticgreens.com/morenews. Today was an additional, it wasn't part of the address. Just more news.
Hey, you! No, not you. I'm talking to your mouths. Everyone, shut up and open your mouths so your mouths can listen. Did you do it? I'm assuming you did. Good. Hi, mouths. It's me. I want to take this opportunity to tell you about Quip, an electric toothbrush company that makes it extremely easy to get into good health habits by delivering all the oral care essentials you need for a beautiful and healthy smile. No more hiding behind those lips, my wonderful teeth? No! I know how much you teeth hate to hide. That's why Quip's electric toothbrush is loved by over 7 million mouths and features a lightweight and sleek design, timed sonic vibrations to guide a dentist-recommended clean, and reusable and customizable handles. There's also a new smart motor that will track your brushing via an app. Wow, everything gets a nap, and you deserve one too, mouths. Hey, you might ask, with your mouth still agape, what about floss and all that other mouth stuff? Well, worry not, because Quip has everything you need to build a complete routine. In addition to brush heads, they will deliver everything from anti-cavity toothpaste or sugar-free gum to a refillable mouthwash every 3 months, starting from just $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the hustle and or bustle of in-store shopping. And right now, if you go to getquip.com/morenews, you'll get your first free fill free. That's a great deal for your mouth and a mouthful to say. First refill free. And again, first refill free at quip.com/morenews, spelled GETQUIP.com/morenews. Quip, the good habits company.
All right, guys, enough with the chit-chat amongst friends. We got to get to business, to the business of newsy.
Down to the dirty business.
Y'all ready for this? Katie, you've missed it. You've missed being on this show. Talking about. I'm stalling.
Yes, we're ready for this.
Let's give a little Biff BBB update. Joe Biden has signed the $1 trillion infrastructure deal into law this week. Congratulations, Joe Biden.
Joseph Robinette Biden. You did it.
I see you. Yeah. I see you celebrating this major legislative victory. Really did it. And yet, despite all this fanfare, we really don't know what's going to happen with the broader and more important Build Back Better package. The House is planning to vote on it soon, but its prospects in the Senate don't look good. Just a quick reminder, that's why originally the plan had been to pass things consecutively so that there's more leverage, but we gave that up because that's what we do.
Yeah,
leverage.
Right.
I don't want it. Take it back.
Yeah, giving up is great to do when you're president. I think also wasn't there a thing with some kind of budget agreement that originally leftists were trying to hold out for, where it's like essentially making sure there's enough in the budget for Build Back Better before passing the infrastructure bill, but then that didn't happen. So now it's like, oh, whoops, we spent all our money doing, like, you know, subsidies for things we don't need to. Whoops. So
yeah,
I don't
congressional
know,
budget office is going to like release its assessment of Build Back Better tomorrow, and Democrats are telling each other it's going to say that it's not all paid for, but it's not taking into account all that the hundreds of billions we're going to raise through increased tax enforcement at the IRS. But I'm sure the media will cover it fairly.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so are you?
I think we all should expect them to do.
I don't feel good about any of it. I don't feel good about the prospects of Build Back Better happening, at least in the current form, because once we get these numbers in, I would be surprised if Joe Manchin doesn't have a problem with it. You know, I would be surprised if there isn't fighting and squabbling.
This time he's just like, no, actually, I'm good. Go for it, guys.
Yeah, he nailed it.
Like,
got it.
What's your end game, man?
I don't know. I feel sick to my stomach every time I try to think about it. Because it's the bare... We're like trying to do the bare minimum to course correct in terms of climate change and income inequality and broken health care. Three pretty important things, I think, for life to, you know, keep on being alive. And we're just sort of whiffing it with this like, well, you know, we would do that, except the whole cinema mansion shitscapade going on. And it feels like maybe, I don't know, like I'm not a huge fan of Biden, but I'm not even sure what he can do to play hardball in that case. I mean,
sock him in the kisser.
That, yeah, I do think stronger rhetoric would be good, using the bully pulpit more.
I agree.
Oh, I meant physical violence, but yeah, that too.
No, I meant that too. That's why it's called a bully pulpit.
Ah, yes, yeah,
you take the pulpit and you like smash them in the head with it.
Mm-hmm. And you shove that head in the toilet.
You bully them with it. Feel similarly. It's not that I've talked about this before. It's not that I want Joe Biden to be using Twitter like Donald Trump did, but you better believe that if, you know, Donald Trump was the president and Joe Manchin was holding up, you know, it was the linchpin holding up what he wanted to do, he wouldn't stop talking about Joe Manchin and
right.
mm-hmm. placing the blame on Joe Manchin. And so there's an argument to be made about decency, I guess. But look, we fail over and over and over again. We keep not progressing anything that we need desperately and losing our chance and frustrating everybody. And at the very least, then we would see our president fighting for it.
Well, he's fighting for decency and civility, right? That's
and
the thing,
civility,
is that,
you know, reaching across the aisle to give his hand jobs.
What do you think Trump's nickname for Manchin would be? Because if it's Biden, he'll just be like, decent Joe Manchin did this thing today. Civil Joe Manchin.
I mean,
Joe Munchkin?
Yeah, it'd be Joe
Munchkin.
Joe Munchkin. Oh, yeah, Joe Munchkin. Good. Or Houseboat Munchkin.
Houseboat Mansion, yeah. Mansion. Joe Manchin is in like a mansion.
Really yeah, hard any one of these are really good.
Or just like Stubborn Joe. Like he's not actually great at nicknames, right? Like
Farty Joe.
They don't always rhyme or anything. It'll just be like Stupid Joe.
Yeah, it's not even like alliterative necessarily. It's just he picks a
word
or an insult. Yeah,
Floppy Joe.
Dusty Joe. Dusty Joe.
Yeah,
I like Dusty. Let's talk a little bit about what may or may not be BBB. At least is
$778 billion for defense. Is that what's going to be in it?
Build back better.
Yeah. Bomb back better.
Bomb back better. Paid leave was in, then it was out. Now it might be back in.
Paid leave is so in now, you guys.
So in. It's because we were all posting about it for like a week and a half.
It's hot.
But again, unlikely. Unlikely that it stays. Come on. Joe Manchin doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Joe Manchin doesn't want your paid leave.
Yeah, I think there was a good point that was made about Joe Manchin where people will say like, oh, well, he has to do these kinds of things to please his voters, right? Because he's in a very red purpley area, but I think it's like he voted down the, you know, the taxing the super wealthy, the billionaires, and that was like, you know, there, he has no billionaires in his constituency.
He's not doing anything for his constituency. He's doing it because the people that pay for him to be in office, he doesn't want to piss off.
Yeah.
The wild thing is that he has proposed paid leave programs in the past. His whole thing is like, this is not the way to do it. Budget reconciliation isn't the way to do it. We should go through, and if the Republicans don't want it, oh well, like, we need to get everyone on board first. And so it seems like he doesn't really care about it at all.
Phrase saying, if the Republicans don't want it, oh well, what do you mean if? Like, you can't, right. Like, if you're framing it like that, then you're not being serious about
right
it.
Right. It's like you have Jeffrey Dahmer, and it's like, well, if he wants to stop murdering, you know, like, that would be good.
Yeah, then that would be good. And we'll vote on it. And he'll get a vote.
Yeah, I mean, there's always some kind of procedure thing where if someone doesn't really want something to pass but doesn't want to get the political heat for opposing it, it's like, well, let's check in on that Senate parliamentarian, shall we? You know, just using some kind of procedural archaic thing to say, like, well, you know, we gotta be civil. We gotta, you know, like, maintain procedure. And I get there's some use to procedure in government, you know, to keep things not completely chaotic. But when you're, you know, like, when you have the other side being chaos warriors, and then you're kind of going like, well, you know, it's only slightly unprecedented to ignore the Senate parliamentarian. I mean, Republicans do it a lot, but we shouldn't. You know, it's just like you're never going to get your footing at all, which may be the point, you know.
I think you're hitting on something there. Another thing that may potentially be in BBB, and that has to do with salt. It's the salt tax cap, which I believe.
But I love salt. Hang on.
You love salt. You don't like this. Or do you? I don't know.
It's the seasoning that makes food taste good.
The tax cut that came about by Trump in 2017. Basically, they would give $285 billion almost exclusively to people making over $200,000 over the next 5 years. So, okay, here's some details. The measure would allow households to increase their deduction from state and local taxes from $10,000 to $80,000 through 2026. Oh. And then impose a new deduction cap through 2031. This is the second most expansive item in the legislation over the next 5 years, more costly than establishing a paid family and medical leave program, and nearly twice as expensive as funding home medical services for the elderly and disabled. Basically, the rich are poised to gain more from the salt cap increase than lower income people are from every other element of the bill, such as like the child tax credit.
So that's, like, great. Because they previously were capped at making deductions on this tax at like $10,000. And now that cap is up to $80,000, eight times that. So they can like deduct up to $80,000 on their taxes, which is great, because, you know, certainly really don't need those taxes to pay for anything.
This cap was primarily impacting high earning individuals in high earning states like California. And so they started getting a huge this chunk of people in this $200,000 range, which are wealthy. They're wealthy people and they should be taxed. They are. But it also was a thing that does not affect the ultra wealthy in any capacity. And this adjustment does nothing for people that don't earn that much money. They are still being taxed highly. So
did you both take a look at that chart I included? It's the chart's remarkable because it shows like nothing goes to anyone from this tax deduction if you make like $54,000 or less. If you make up to $90,000 a year, you get $20 back in federal taxes per year. And then by the time
that's a few Mountain Dew flaming hot.
It's like it's got to be six of those.
It's got to be,
which you'll appreciate. It goes up to $420 back if you make up to $250,000 a year. So even then, it's not that much. And then if you make over $861,000 a year, then you get $15,000 back.
It's weird that it works out that like wealthy people pay for political campaigns. Wealthy people are often like in Congress, and somehow the laws tend to work out where it does good things for wealthy people. That's crazy. Or that's amazing.
Oh, wow. Huh. So like, are you saying, is it like by design, do you think? Like, do you think that like that?
That's really cynical, Cody. That's a really cynical take. I don't know. I think it's kind of an accident where it's like, oh, we're all rich. And then whoops, you kind of like, it's like when you trip and then you write a bill on your way down the stairs that gives you a tax break.
Is that what you did when you tripped
down
the stairs?
Yeah.
Having just done how this. It is.
Yeah, I
Since
slipped
we live
down
in a complete meritocracy, you know, I'm sure one of these days, a bunch of people who aren't in the upper class will get into Congress and straighten this all out.
Yeah.
So yeah, but meanwhile, I do think it's probably like a huge accident that it happened this way forever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've got the money, so they're the smarties, right? So they would know like what needs to be done.
Well, yeah, they're a lot smarter than us.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right, because they get that $15,000 a month, right? Got to be smart if they're getting that, pulling that kind of cash. The only thing that's more expensive in the bill than the SALT cap increase is universal pre-K and affordable child care. So
we should get rid of it.
That, but yeah, like
that seems like
really
it'll help people who
kids.
Need it.
How are we gonna afford to take care of children when we've got so many like tax deductions
increase? Katie, you're completely correct. Let's just get. We'll be open to. We're gonna have to make some cuts, and we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, like, if those kids wanted to be able to, like, learn and get lunch at schools and stuff, why aren't they making, like, over $200,000 a year?
The truth is that the best learning experience is experience. So I don't know why they aren't out there.
Listen, why don't these kids, like, go to school for exposure, you know?
Why don't we let the kids teach the class?
Right. I mean, I've often said children can be the best teachers.
Yep.
And we should fire all teachers and just kind of have a Lord of the Flies situation going on.
I've often said that. That's wow.
Every day of my life.
Wise.
Every single day of my life, I've said that.
There has been a stark decrease in children having to like get into crawl spaces to earn their keep, you know, to work at mill. Like we should bring
using their tiny hands to get in the machinery and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
You know, teach them real skills.
Yeah.
They're small and they can fit in chimneys really good. That's one thing that we forgot with this whole like, we should give kids education instead of sending them to work. We forgot how little they can fit right in the chimney and get it really clean.
They have valuable strengths. They're not strong, but they've got strengths.
Right. Like chimney cleaning, like I just said,
I think that's the main one.
All this news reading about how people can't afford houses sure gets me thirsty. That's why I like to go to PolicyGenius.com, an online marketplace for comparing home and auto insurance in just one place. You can go on there and answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property that you definitely own. And then kabam! PolicyGenius will compare rates from America's top insurers so you can get the lowest quotes. They've even saved customers an average of $1,250 per year over what they were were paying for home and auto insurance. Delicious and nutritious. Quench your thirst with PolicyGenies.com. And if they find a better rate than what you have now, which you definitely do, they'll switch you over for free. I use my PolicyGenies.com every morning for breakfast, or sometimes it's the last thing I do at night. You know how insurance costs are constantly getting higher every day and creating a situation where it feels impossible to actually buy and maintain a house? Well, at least you have Policy Genius to help you find the best home insurance rates in the event that you become financially stable enough to do so. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get started right now. That's PolicyGenius.com. P as in PolicyGenius.com. G as in genius as in PolicyGenius.com. Dot as in .com as in PolicyGenius.com. Quench your thirst today!
Let's pivot to COP26.
Nice Ooh. Segue.
It's not bad, one. Not my best, but pretty good. Yeah. COP26. Climate conference. 26. Where
yeah,
you at?
Yeah, we did it. We did it.
Where you at?
The 26th one. We'll do it.
Wishing upon a star that maybe the climate will just stop being so rude. Mm-hmm. It
ended with everybody holding hands and singing when you yeah. wish upon a star. I like that.
Got high hopes for number 27.
Just like all the world leaders with one of those cootie catchers, you know, trying to like,
What's
and then if
catcher?
You let this one be blue and then, you know, heart symbol, then it's like climate gets better and you have seven children.
Didn't know that's how it worked.
I'm of course referring to the thing where like, didn't all the world leaders throw a coin in that
yeah,
fountain to wish the world would heal
so
itself?
Yeah, it's a real...
likely
Real
to forget anytime
perfect
soon.
Metaphor for
yeah. threw a coin in a fountain deal. Right it's before ridiculous. Getting an
the
orange
Trevi
Julius
fountain,
and going
yeah.
to Sam Goody
yeah yeah
we'll talk a little bit about COP26 but I wanted to mention this it wrapped up and then the Biden administration held the largest offshore oil and gas lease sale in U.S. history days. So, yeah, oil and gas companies will now get to drill in 80 million acres in the Gulf
Sweet.
Of Mexico.
When you get those gas prices down, you know?
I mean, there's not much going on in the ocean, right? Like, it's just kind of a bunch of water and sand.
Just salty and gross. Seaweed?
Yeah, salt,
Come on, who
sand.
Wants that?
There's yeah. not much in there. Not like, you know.
Whales?
Billions of species of important life or anything.
Katie Golden, what's your favorite what? Sea animal?
God, that's a really hard question to answer. Oh, God, why are you doing this to me? I can't. It's like Sophie's choice. It's like, which one of your children do you want to kill? You want me
except,
to kill one of my
well,
sea babies?
That's
or
absolutely
all of them
not
except
the
one?
Question I asked. I do not want you to kill the all the other ones.
I got to say,
keep, you
octopuses.
Can keep
the,
it's because they're
them.
So like, they're like really clever and kind of
they're real
goop,
smart,
goopy and weird.
But goopy and weird. That's exactly why I love them. They're mm-hmm. smart, but if they want to like squeeze themselves into a peanut butter jar, they can. And I find mm-hmm. that magical. Because I think if I was smart and goopy, I would also go and hide inside a peanut butter jar.
As it would be your right.
Yeah, I love
them. Are the octopi going to be okay?
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, a serious answer to why I like octopuses so much is that they have evolved a brain and eyes almost completely independently of humans and other animals. Well, obviously of humans, but like of main animals that we know about, like mammals and fish. Like they kind of branched off from the rest of animals at sort of a worm-like stage with a very simple eye and just a few neurons to call a brain. And it completely independently formed incredible eyes and an incredible intelligent brain. And this is all cephalopods, of course, but octopuses may be the smartest of the cephalopods. And I just find that reassuring in a way that like when you have the right conditions for life, you often will get really intelligent, cool animals. And they can make their skin change colors. And when they dream, they like have like they turn a bunch of different colors because like if they dream they're hunting, they like will turn the colors that they turn to like while they're hunting. It's extremely adorable and cute. And then they spray water at people just for fun. As to whether they'll survive I don't know, because they are very fragile animals, and I would suspect, you know, I mean, like they will spend all this time like aerating their eggs, and at the end of their life cycle will forego food just to take care of their eggs. But they have to take such good care of them to make sure they're properly aerated and not eaten by predators. And so I would worry that, you know, if competition gets worse in the ocean, things like octopuses that are very delicate creatures would be at risk. But right now they're not at risk, so that's good.
Thank you for that. We were going to talk about your podcast later, which we will, but this is a real good reason why you should check out Creature Feature, where Katie does deep dives into the lives, the fascinating, beautiful, fucked up lives of animals. Fucked
and
up
what I hope is
judgment.
A recurrent segment on your show, Octopus Minute.
Yep. It is. Now, you just, yep.
The swim it minute.
Can we get a jingle for that?
Yeah.
Octopus minute, swimming in a minute, made out of goopy stuff. They squirt water at you and then die.
Catchy. No notes.
Thank you.
Some more real quick about COP26. And specifically this Biden news. This is from Washington Post. This administration went to Scotland and told the world that America's climate leadership is back, and now it's about to hand over 80 million acres of public waters in the Gulf of Mexico to fossil fuel companies. Natural Resources Committee Chairman Raul Grijalva said in a statement. The sale also comes just 2 days after President Biden proposed a 20-year ban on oil and gas drilling around Chaco Canyon, a sacred tribal site in New Mexico. As predicted, this is a carbon bomb in the Gulf. Leasing off another 1.7 million offshore acres dwarves the size of any newly protected acres that the Biden administration is looking toward in places like Chaco Canyon. I just feel really frustrated by this, and I wanted to make sure I highlight that, because the Biden administration is pointing to you know, like, our hands are tied. We really don't want to have to do this. But they're actually, their hands aren't tied. There are things that they can do. They are referencing some deals made with Donald Trump about drilling and land lease. But there are courses of action to stop this if he so chose. But instead, they authorize this deal the day after, essentially, ending. It's maddening. It's very frustrating.
Didn't Katie Porter get a bunch of bags of rice to show how ridiculous it is to ask for more land to drill on?
Sounds like something
she would
do.
I did see that, but I didn't see it.
She's good at explaining stuff.
She's good at explaining things for people to understand.
It's just one of those frustrating, like, out both sides of your mouth sort of things, without acknowledging what needs to be done. Even like all the, you know, all the Build Back Better stuff and various things you have. Yeah, we're preserving this, or we're, you know, like, you have to curb fossil fuel emissions. You have to go after these companies who knew what they were doing, and like, you can't do one by, okay, you can't drill here for 20 years, but you can drill all these other places. That doesn't do what you're saying it does.
It's like, and it's like trying to clean your toilet while you're still pooping in it, you know?
Yes, it is, actually. It is.
You guys
really
not,
good.
You know what? It is.
Can you not do that?
Oh,
when else are you
Jonathan.
Do it? I don't understand. Any other time, Jonathan.
Oh,
what other time?
Jonathan.
That's when you're there. So I don't know.
Jonathan.
Honestly, literally any other time is the answer.
Some other time. This is one of those things, you know, where you realize you do things differently than everyone else.
Jonathan,
you should be ashamed.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
I'm kidding. I'm smiling. the thing that the, you know, the oil people are saying essentially is
fucking oil people.
Look, this is better for the environment because.
Oh, okay, then. That's all I needed to hear. Whew.
You know, relief. The world consumes 800 million whatevers of you know, chuckets of oil. Is that they're called a chucket?
Uh-huh.
Every year. And the reality is if we don't drill it here, someone else is going to be drilling it somewhere else, and we can make sure that we do that.
I love that.
That's the essential.
That's what I do when I like punch oil executives in the dick. It's like, if I wasn't doing it, someone else would be doing it. Trust me, you know?
Oh, well, in that case, and you said that you're going to, we can trust you to do it, right? What about that big oil? Don't think about the oil spills. Don't think about all the times we've done it wrong, but
yeah,
we'll do it better than the other guys. Fuck off.
In that very Gulf. Not that long ago.
In that very Gulf.
Yeah. It's
really galling. But anyway, there are some kind of good things from COP26.
Oh, good.
Did they wish upon a star?
26 years and we're there.
So, okay.
Yeah, okay.
The most important takeaway, and that I've heard talked about, is
America's back. America's back, baby.
Yes, we appear to have bent the curve on global warming. At least that's the message being said. Now, look, from what I understand and listening to people, no, it basically means what we're doing is avoiding... It looks like we might be doing enough to avoid the most calamitous of outcomes.
But that doesn't mean we're not avoiding. That's all I gotta say. You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's like you provided some specifics here that I'll read, Jonathan. 10 years ago, we were on track for a 4 to 6 degrees Celsius raise in global temperatures above pre-industrial levels, and today that's down to 2.7 degrees based on current policies.
Still a lot of death, famine, and mass forced migration due to rising sea level, but not as bad as it would have been.
And to be clear, even clearer, this is if every country that has submitted, this is a quote Jonathan gave us, if every country that has submitted a 2030 carbon target hits that target, the average warming will be 2.4 degrees Celsius. So this is all really contingent upon...
America being back.
Yeah.
Mm.
We're back.
I guess if every country hits that, it would be slightly better than the 2.7. But we're talking about... No, none of these outcomes are good. So that's something, though. That's something.
I pulled this from the writer David Roberts, who wrote about, like, you know, look, we were talking about doom and gloom a lot, and a lot of this stuff is still not great. And so he wanted to highlight, here are some of the things we've done. And based on policies that were set at the Paris Agreement, including things that have already been put into action, the warming is not on track for the, you know, calamitous 5 degrees Celsius up. And I think he posted this to encourage people, like, hey, this stuff works. Getting these climate summits in front of everyone can work. People can institute policies to lower the warming, and it just takes a long time, and it's like pulling teeth, and they don't always do
it. It's really important.
I think it also runs counter to the narrative that it's already too late, so we should just like set everything on fire and have a martini and enjoy the show. Because anything we do between now and, you know, while we're still not extinct, can potentially increase quality of living for people, decrease the level of suffering. So I get really frustrated with the kind of like, you know, Ben Shapiro thing of like, oh, well, it's too late now. So like, you know, I denied it until now, but now that it's bad, like, oh, it's too late anyways, but it's not so bad because the only people dying are, you know, poor people in other countries. It's the most like psychotic, cynical take it, but I think that it's also something that people who are, you know, kind of like the doomers, the coomers and the doomers, zoomers, the where it's like, I'm not really calling out the zoomers. It rhymed. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I said it.
We are a comedy show.
No, but like people who are like, you know, like, oh, it's everything, like, it doesn't matter at this point anyways, because we're all doomed. We're not with an asterisk on it, you know, where it's like, if we do stuff about it, which I get the cynicism of like, it's really hard to do anything about it when money seems to kind of be deciding politics. Yeah. And then weirdly, just like kind of randomly, legislation that seems to favor rich people and oil companies just happens to pass for some weird reason. And I get that, but it's definitely not too late. Like, and even in, you know, probably 10 years, it won't be too late. It will be too late to have reached a better position that we could have been at if we had done a better job.
Well, it's but never it too, too late, late to,
yeah,
until we're done. We're not done.
It's
until
never
we're
too
done.
Late until we're all dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that's really important. And thank you, Jonathan, for bringing up the context of that article and what this person was saying, because as frustrated as I am in general, of course, like we all are, it is important to highlight the fact that there is progress and what things are possible. And a lot of, you know, scientists and people that work on climate change talk about this a lot, of being like, I want to push back
climate
against
knots,
this.
I think is the word.
Yes,
climate
yes.
Knots.
Mm-hmm. Knots. They want to really push back against it. They are more hopeful than the rest of us. And that is important, because if we just give up, then we just give up, and we're not giving up. But we can also be angry and pissed off, because the reason why things happen is because people are paying attention and they're upset and they're trying to keep our governments accountable. You know, yes, the COP26 is important. These conversations are important, even if they seem really ceremonial, or we're like, what's going to happen? Well, everybody's paying attention and talking about it. And the public perception of climate change is changing.
Right.
Et cetera.
And
so on.
And I feel like we really need to set a flaming bag of dog turds on fire on oil execs' lawns, because if we don't do it, someone else is going to do it, and probably worse. You know?
Yeah, so we might as well, exactly.
We might as well.
Let's make it diarrhea. Why not?
Right, right.
I want to move on to some other topics before we're done for today, but real quick, some other things from COP26. More than 100 countries pledged to end deforestation by 2030. Billions were committed to helping countries transition off of fossil fuels, and for indigenous communities in recognition of their role in protecting forests.
But like, shouldn't we also do that? Sorry. Like, we'll help them transition from fossil fuels because we are doing that. We did it.
Wait.
Sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
This is because like we are like, hey, developing countries, don't you know using fossil fuels is bad? And they're like, okay, screw off, United States. And they're like, well, we'll give you some money to like help you do that. I don't have the specific numbers of those dollars, or if that's going to be nearly enough.
It's true that we need to do it, but also good to start that action other places in the world.
Totally,
as well.
I get it. It's just funny.
But yes, it is.
Like if you
all
look
of
at
this
the whole-
is hard. Because you're like, yeah, do it. Do the things here. Do it everywhere.
Yeah, but I get the frustration, because it's like if you look at a pie chart of, you know, who is contributing to global warming, guess what? It's not, you know, poor countries. It's, you know, our carbon footprint in wealthy countries is just ridiculously higher than anyone living in, you know, the underdeveloped countries.
Like from our military, which we're $778 billion on this year. Hooray.
And lastly, the final statement at COP26. Sorry. Got to keep it going. Represented the first time that fossil fuels had ever been mentioned.
America's back.
Yeah,
that's right.
America's back, baby. But it was a little bit watered down, apparently.
Did they say like,
yes,
use some euphemism for fossil
escalating
fuels?
Escalating efforts to phase down unabated coal power and phase out inefficient fossil fuel subsidies. So like, we're gonna work.
We need are efficient fossil fuel subsidies. That's what we need.
Yeah, they added. It just said phase out fossil fuel
No, we're going to get together an exploratory committee to look into whether we should, you know, look into things to look into.
Yeah, we consider looking into it. Jonathan, are you saying that they added the word inefficient?
Yeah, at first it was like phase out coal power, and then they changed. They added unabated, I think, and then India asked for it to be changed from phase out to phase down unabated coal power. Initially, it just said phase out fossil fuel subsidies, and then someone's like, "Can't do that."
Inefficient and fossil fuel subsidies. Oh,
was that person Joe Manchin?
Yeah,
no, it was fucking Joe Biden. America's
he
back.
Saw the word cop.
Joe Biden.
He had to be there.
Oh my God!
And then our like climate envoy John Kerry was, you know, in his like, you know how John Kerry gets like really adamant and like yells at people and like gets all like fired up about stuff. He was just like, everything's okay. Like, yeah, we wish this could have been stronger language, but like we are supposed to be very happy that the word fossil fuel is in there, which is
right.
A little mind-boggling. It's 2021.
Instead of saying phase down, that's like strong language. What if we say like sort of scoot sideways?
Scoot sideways. Know? I was going to say, oh my God, perfect. I think
sideways.
We should scoot sideways. The
only
unabated
the
coal power.
It's just
unabated
coal power. Scoot to the left and a scoot to the right. Mm-hmm. Cut that. Ew.
Yeah, if we
nobody
could just
to
toggle
hear me
adjacent.
Singing that in their ears. I don't know if I want to talk about Miss Holocaust. I guess it's too late.
Well, now
before
we have
go,
to.
Before
well,
we go
now
to
we
the
have
broken
to.
News.
I don't,
before we,
I don't know if I
Miss
want
Holocaust,
to talk about
I'm sorry.
Miss Holocaust.
It's Miss
well,
Holocaust.
Well, then you shouldn't have said that.
It's Miss
Holocaust. About.
It's Miss Holocaust Survivor. Guys, there is a new Miss Holocaust survivor, which if you're like me, maybe you were surprised that there was ever a Miss Holocaust survivor, let alone the fact that there is a new one. But the latest Miss Holocaust survivor is 86-year-old Selena Steinfeld, and the pageant was held in Jerusalem. When I first saw this, I was like, what the fuck? But it has been going on and off since 2009.
Thanks, Obama.
Try to find some of the bones of like my ancestors killed in Odessa and be like, is this pile of bones eligible?
Does
no?
this count?
Yeah, I don't think you should do that.
I think it would be bad for you emotionally and probably legally.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with your idea.
But I think like that might have been the darkest joke I've ever made in my life.
Well,
but this is
there's room
I don't,
to grow.
I'm gonna go on the record, and say I don't like it. I don't care for
you
it.
Don't
much.
Like it. Yeah. I'll give a little bit more information as to why it's making headlines this year. It's because it's sponsored by an evangelical Trump and Netanyahu supporter.
There it is. There it is. And up, boom goes the dynamite.
He's a Christian Zionist. He's a Christian who believes that returning Israel to Jewish people is in accordance with holy prophecy.
Yeah, and in that prophecy, a bunch of Jews die, by the way, guys. So, like, you know.
Small
Jewish
detail
people,
of the prophecy.
Yeah. Jewish people are like, oh, wow, why is this, you know, evangelical being so nice to me? It's because they think that if Israel is given to the Jews, the prophecy gets an action. There's like a heaven war, and then a bunch of Jews will die. Mm-hmm. And that's like in there. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, the end times, correct?
Friends of Zion.
Yeah. The bad end, the end times. I mean, the good end if you're an evangelical, because even though a bunch of people die, you don't because you're special.
Special.
So, special. Yeah, I don't know what more there is to say about it, but I was shocked. I guess
not they, I can the, tell you that.
Yikes a couple
intention.
Of times.
Yikes, Aruni.
Like, really drawn out like, yikes. You know, like these women were robbed of their childhood, you know, kind of a reasoning.
Yeah.
They deserve to be celebrated. There's lots of ways to celebrate people than a beauty pageant for Holocaust survivors.
Yeah, just maybe not in this specific way. I mean, look, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Good. Fair point.
And we're almost out of time here, but real quick, we're going to do a couple broken news stories. So, Jonathan, take us away. Ba-da-ba-ba.
Bing-bing.
Bing-bong, bing-bong.
I don't even need to introduce this much. I can just say Britney, right? I can.
Britney!
Spears?
Britney.
You don't need to know.
Britney's back, bitch!
Just like America, Britney's back.
I don't know, Katie, did you watch this this 2-minute video she posted a couple days ago on Twitter and Instagram? She posted a video like thanking everyone for their support. She's not sure what she's going to do next, but on the tweet and the Instagram post, she's like she might, you know, set things square on Oprah, teasing
on Oprah,
which feels I'm like here the natural for it. Fit.
Yeah,
she should absolutely
sense.
Go on Oprah.
It kind of, I know what you mean, but it makes it sound like she's gonna like set Oprah square and just start like going
set
in
her
on
straight.
Oprah.
Set her Listen here, yeah. Oprah. I would love that. That'd be weird.
Yeah, who do you think satisfying. You are holding these interviews like this?
What an odd.
I would really like to see sort of like a Phoenix Britney rise and just excoriate every interview, like just attack every interviewer because she deserves it after what she's been through.
A point of here's some real thoughts, real quick.
Thoughts. Okay,
Cody mentioned
didn't
this.
Think we were doing those here, but
all right, I thought we already were.
Cody mentioned this on Worst Year Ever briefly. I'm gonna reiterate it before going into my other point, which is. She's already being like swarmed by paparazzi, like going out for a drive. And it's like, we haven't learned our lesson a little bit. Like, give the woman some peace. Let her live her life.
Yeah.
Is the one.
Yeah, a lot of photos with like, she's free. Look at her. Well,
he's like, give her space, man.
Seems like you put her back in a different cage.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. But my other point is. Fight, and some people have said this, but I'm going to say it here in the show, advocating for Britney's freedom also means not judging or being prepared for whatever choice that she's going to make with her life. Do you know what I mean? Without coming forward with opinions, without making her the tabloid headline, like let her fucking live her life. Do an interview. Sure. Or not.
If she wants to.
If
she's like, I want to speak to people, I'm going to go call Oprah and say, fuck you, Oprah. Let's sit down so I can yell at you. Or if she wants.
But like, also, this is a deeply traumatic experience. Her whole life has been a very traumatic experience. And let her be. Let her rest. You know, let it go.
Are you trying to say leave Britney alone? Perhaps?
I'm saying leave Britney alone.
Could you say it a little more intensely?
Right.
Leave Britney alone.
Thank you.
Man, that guy was very much, he was very much in retrospect correct with that whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking of prophets and prophecies.
Who?
There you go.
Chris Crocker.
Chris Crocker, yeah.
Chris Nostra-Crocker.
Do you got
Nostradamus?
Do you got one more news, broke news?
You know I do. I've got a whole bag full of news stories at all times. You can call me up
at
3 a.m. on a Friday. We've done a show.
Open
Jonathan, you got some news
bag.
For me?
A little in your little bag.
Here's Jonathan with a big old sack of news for you.
And I still fit in a chimney. Staples Center in Los Angeles. It's going to be called Crypto.com Arena.
What? Hell yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
Yes.
It's not even the Crypto Arena.
It's
Crypto.com.
This is so good. I want to go see the Lakers at
crypto.com. It's a 50-year contract.
It kicks ass.
I want to go see the Lakers at crypto.com stadium and be like, hey, you want to go to crypto.com stadium? You know, just like
it really
such
rolls
a good
off
vibe.
The tongue.
I love it. I love it so much.
I love it. Because also, like, people, well, .com is stupid. Like, the fact that it's blank.com is very, very silly. But it was called the Staples Center for a long time. That's also stupid.
It's really bad. Yeah. I mean, all of these parks in San Francisco, Candlestick Park, Well, it's still Candlestick, but then they gave it up for Pac Bell Park.
Like, it's, yeah, yeah, it's like
Petco Park in San Diego.
Right.
There you
Petco
go.
Park.
It's all silly. And this is just
crypto.com is
we,
the
like,
silliest.
We all agreed, all right, our stadiums are going to be named after like banks and stores and companies. And
did
it's gonna
we
be very
agree
silly.
On that?
By letting it continue to happen, I guess so. This is just the next step in that evolution, right?
Okay, here's what I was saying before is that this contract is for 50 years. And in 50 years, crypto.com will not be a website.
Absolutely.
I would bet all my crypto mm-hmm. that in 50 years, crypto.com no longer exists, but the stadium mm-hmm. will prevail.
Wait,
and that's all the time that we have today.
Wait, what were you saying, Jonathan? Saw 20 years. Did you see 50 years?
I saw 50, but I could be making it up. If so,
look it up.
I maintain everything I just said. Just pretend
yeah,
that I
in
said 20, 20,
years,
20
I'm
50,
sure
I don't care.
Isn't going to be a...
I still
I
don't think that
they
that
don't do anything by... I hope they don't do anything by half measure. I hope like they have a bunch of those NFT monkeys as their mascot. You know, one mm-hmm. of those like MS Paint monkeys,
yeah,
lazy lion as a mascot. You know, that's the new
apes.
Mascot.
One can hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should have just named it NFT Monkey Center. Mm-hmm.
God, yeah.
But, missed opportunity. That's all the time that we have today before Katie falls off the internet again. Also, it's like bedtime where you are. It's past
yeah.
bedtime.
It's extremely bedtime for you.
The internet is made out of spaghetti here, and bedtime is pasta o'clock.
Just get,
Katie,
just get the noodles wet. And you can
tell our listeners where they can find you online, and tell us about the new season of Creature Feature.
Yes. First of all, I apologize to all of my Italian friends. I don't see you guys as cartoon characters who only eat
They
pasta.
Can't hear you. They've got meatballs in their ears. Sorry.
That said, you can find me on the internet at Katie Golden on Twitter. That's KATIEGOLDIN, where, you know, I'm on there. Like the rest of you suckers. And then, yeah, I do have a podcast. It's called Creature Feature. You can find it on, podcast areas, little podcast refuges where you find podcasts.
When does Season Stew start dropping?
It's already out, baby.
Oh, it is?
That's right.
Yeah, it's dribbling out like a leaky faucet full of podcast episodes.
Boy, I've got so much podcasts. Catch up on
it's we talk about animals. Last week I answered some questions people had about like sperm whales and bacteria poop and cheetahs, you know, so it's just a good time with animals.
Really runs the gamut.
Yeah,
Chester cheetah from the Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew.
He has a cameo. Exactly.
Okay, that is all the time that we have this week. Katie, thank you again for joining us. Everybody, we will be back next week for even more news. And in the meantime, just want to remind you, we love you very much.
Much.
There's a thing happening in Cody's background, but ignore it. We're ending the episode.
Much. He'll just use your audio.
A big horny rhino also loves you.
Okay, I'm done recording.
Wait. Much. I got it. I got it in.